This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hello, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
Richie Ote, what's up, baby Rich?
How's it going?
And we'll have a very special guest joining us here in just a moment. Could possibly be my favorite button ever. So Wade gave you that button?
No,
where did that one come from?
A friend of mine I had lunch with yesterday, she handed them out to us.
Oh, so for those who cannot...
We had to guess.
Yeah?
And I did not guess correctly.
What did you think it meant?
I don't know. Well, she's a humorist, so I was like, no laughing? What are you trying to tell us? You're a humorist.
Draw the picture in our minds of what the button
so
looks like.
So it's a capital letter L... In a circle with
Wait, don't tell what it is, though. Go ahead. Just finish the description because I want to ask Melanie. I want to see what Melanie thinks. Yeah.
So it's a capital letter L in the middle of a button with a line, like, crossing it out.
Like a do not enter kind of cross,
yes.
Kind of red, white, green thingy. Yeah,
yes.
That. Yeah. All right. I love that. All right. So let's, Wade, we got Melanie on. We got Melanie. Hey, Melanie, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Hey.
Thanks
how
for having
are
me.
You? Awesome. All right. So Melanie Benson is joining us today. And where are you joining us from?
Just outside LA.
Just
still sleepy Oak Park.
Nice. All right. Awesome. So if you saw a button, Melanie, almost looks like a do not enter sign. So it's red, you know, on the outside, white, red line going through a capital L. What would you think that means? Like, what does it translate to?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. No love, but then that would make any sense.
Right.
Maybe just no L's. Don't use any L's. So, what if we did put L's in our words?
Okay. So say it again. So no what?
No L's in our
Merry
words.
Christmas.
We're like going to make up a whole new language.
Noel. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Noel. Really? Did I get it right?
You said it without even knowing it.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. They had to tell me. I was just like, because I'm so literal.
Right.
Like the L, I was going through all these words. I'm like, why no love? Why no laughter?
Right? Who in this person's life do they no longer want to be a part of their, you know, their future? Who is handing out this button that wants to eliminate people from their...
She's a humorist, and it's funny once you get it.
Yeah, and it is funny now that I get it. All right, so Melanie, thanks for joining us today here on Reinvention Radio. And just so I'm clear, I want to make sure I'm clear. Did you used to have a hyphen? Were you a hyphen person?
I used to be Melanie Benson Strickler, part of the Reinvention.
Gotcha.
Dropping the old married name because I'm not married to that man anymore.
Oh, all right. Well,
yeah, that was time.
I was like, I'm almost positive. Like, how many Melanie Bensons are floating around out there? Because I was like,
it's a nice name. It flows really nicely.
It is a lovely name. The alliteration, it flows from. But, okay, great. So now that that is out of the way and I'm clear that you are, in fact, that person, but no longer that person because you are now a better reinvented person, tell us a little bit about what you're up to nowadays.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been around doing this for like 15 years, so it's kind of time for reinvention, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, mostly working with people who are playing a really big game. They're thought leaders. They're doing transformation work, change makers, visionaries. And, you know, the big thing that happens is a lot of times they're getting stuck, getting in their own way. They're creating their own bottlenecks. They're moving too fast, and they don't really have the business side down. And so that's where I come in. I help them figure out how to make their business perform better, how they can be a better entrepreneur, like shifting the mindset, being a better leader. And I love it. I love it. And I kind of got started with the whole overwhelm thing a gazillion years ago. And that was when the Melanie Benson Strick was there. And I thought, you know, it's kind of time to shift that game from, you know, and I'm evolving, people are evolving, and it's time to evolve everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing a lot of work with like what I call awakened leadership and really amplifying our impact and our income without having to work so hard.
Yeah, I got you. And let me ask you this, because, and it's cool if it is, it's cool if it doesn't, just curious, but there are a lot of folks who help people as coaches, as consultants, build businesses. Did you build a business outside of this industry before you got into this industry?
No, I actually worked for a Fortune 500 company for 10 years. And a lot of what I bring into this space is what I learned working inside a Fortune 500 company that was very systems driven. It was very structured. And there were some great like formulas and ways in which they evaluated opportunities. And it taught me a lot about how to take creativity and create form around it that allows that creativity to flourish instead of drown in its own, you know, messiness and chaos.
And you find that that's a problem for a lot of entrepreneurs. I mean, especially when you talk about evaluating opportunities. How do you help people delineate or differentiate or select what is the best path for them to take when they have, let's just call it, equally attractive options?
Yeah, you know, isn't that the toughie? It's kind of it's like the crux of the challenge for a lot of people is there's no shortage of ideas. You know, you can't really turn the creative mind off very well because that's who we are. But yet we can't really do everything, especially if it's just a business of one. Big part of it is really helping people get clear what are the priorities. You guys were talking about this early. You know, our time is really precious and we can't be connected and present and capable of moving every single idea forward. So what if we were making decisions based on what's really important to us, not just in the moment, but where we want to be, you know, 6 months, a year, 5 years down the road? And what happens is a lot of people are in this instant gratification, like, I need money right now. I have this idea, and instead of thinking it through, I'm just going to get into the action because we're kind of addicted to that creative process. Mm-hmm. And so it eliminates a lot of the overwhelm, but also helps people really build more profitable, sustainable businesses. And by the way, I only know all this because I probably made every single mistake a business owner can make growing my own business. And having mentored so many different entrepreneurs and business owners over the years, I've just seen how it plays out. And I'm kind of a steward and like a study of what works and what doesn't work. And how do we make some better strategies and changes in our habits and personal productivity so we can really live the dream and have the business we say we want?
Yeah. Yeah, Richie?
I was going to ask, what did the transition look like for you since you said you weren't really entrepreneurial before getting out of that Fortune 500 into that? Sounds like that's probably where the mistakes were made in that first leap.
Yeah, well, you know, let's look up the definition of messy in the dictionary, and that's what it was. You know, it was nothing like I thought it was. And partially it was because I had a lot of mindset shifts to make. When you've worked your entire life for someone else that gives you a paycheck, and then you get this vision of how you really want to help people achieve their goals in the world, and you just drop everything and go pursue that dream, yay for courage, right? But holy moly, it's not the same making money when somebody else is giving you a paycheck. You have to learn how to translate what you're passionate about to things that people actually want to buy. So that was really the big shift is how do you learn to market and sell when you're not comfortable with that and then make it so exciting and appealing that people want to keep coming back for more?
So, Melanie, this is Mary.
Hey, Mary.
Hi. So on the mindset thing, from my experience in my life, major mindset shifts happen because my back is against the wall. I've got something tragic has happened. And then you get this lucid thought and like, oh, I got to see this differently. So how, if someone's, is there a way to have a very strong mindset shift without having your back against the wall, no money in the bank, where's my next paycheck coming from, or something else tragic in your life?
Oh, I love that question, Mary. And yes, actually, there is. And I think there's two routes through. One is the one that most of us take, which is breakdown, breakthrough. And like you said, nothing's working. I'm in a lot of pain. I have to figure out how to do this differently. And we're willing to do things we were never willing to do before. And that's certainly been my early process. But I also think that, you know, many people who commit to, which I now do, the mastery process, it's kind of what Stephen Covey used to talk about, where you're sharpening the saw. And when in the process of kind of like sharpening your own edge of success, you start to realize and be more conscious and intentional about your actions and your decisions and your way of being. And I think that allows you to choose your mindset instead of forcing yourself to have to change when everything is against the wall. I mean, I've done both. And I kind of like the mastery path a lot more. It's a lot less dramatic and chaotic.
Well, and I also think if you've experienced the traumatic mindset shifts, you're like, okay, I don't need the sledgehammer, so let me be open-minded to a shift in a more masterful way.
And, you know, I don't know if you guys see this, but sometimes isn't it just recognizing, oh, wait, if I want that and I could change my thinking and I can change my behaviors now to get it, then it's like awareness of what's possible can become an inspiration and a catalyst to do things better. But if you don't see what's possible, many people don't know there's something different they could do.
Mm-hmm. So we got about 60 seconds here or so before we got to go to our first break. But let me ask you this. If someone is sitting here thinking about like one action that mm-hmm. they could take to really just kind of break through that barrier, anything in particular that comes to mind is like one thing that someone can do right now who is thinking about what they can possibly do to break through whatever that self-imposed limitation that they put on themselves?
Okay, what's coming to me, because there's probably 20,
right.
is don't make decisions from fear. Make decisions from what you want more of.
Mm. And so we have 34 seconds left. So
that was
an awesome fast answer. Okay, no, that's really good. But just expand on that just briefly here.
So when you make decisions from fear, your logic brain takes over and will convince you why you can't have something that you really, really want. But if you make decisions from here's what I really want to have and be and experience, then you get more resourceful and your mind will go about helping you see how to achieve that differently. So fear becomes the logic that chokes the life out of your dream.
Yeah. All right. That's great. So we're talking to Melanie Benson today, and MelanieBenson.com, and that's M-E-L-A-N-I-E, Benson, B-E-N-S-O-N, MelanieBenson.com. Talking to Melanie today, oh man, about all sorts of interesting things, not the least of which that I want to get to, which is how to eliminate the growth bottlenecks and be able to delegate. There was a point in time, Richie, where I couldn't even say the word delegate. Like, literally, I couldn't even remember what that word was. So I'll be curious to see what Melanie has to say about that. All right, more with Melanie Benson here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Much to do, not enough time to get it done? Call on the experts at Another 8 Hours for your business support needs. By partnering with Another 8 Hours, we allow you to focus on the more important matters, like being in front of your clients, doing what you do best, rather than being stuck at a desk poring over paperwork, rummaging through emails, returning phone calls, and struggling to get everything done by yourself. Meanwhile, your family and social life are going down the drain. Go to another8hours.com or call 8 more hours. That's 866-734-6877.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
Wow. That was close.
I believe they call that just in time, right? There's
just in time radio.
Yeah, just in time radio. All right. Well, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Hanging out with Mary Goulet, Richie O'Jay, Steve Ulsher here, and we're talking to Melanie Benson. So before the break, Melanie, we had a nice chat there about some of the ways that we might jump forward here in our own businesses and ideas around what to do, how to do it, and just kind of things to keep in mind as we look to eliminate some of our own personal obstacles that we seem to self-create as far as business growth is concerned. But, you know, going back to mindset for a minute, one of the things that I know a lot of, especially the solopreneurs, like for you as an example, coming out of the Fortune 500 world, deciding to do your own thing, one of the ways that I know people get stuck is delegation and not feeling as though they're ready to delegate, because it's this chicken and it's this egg where it's like, well, wait a minute, I don't have enough income for myself, let alone now having enough income to pay someone else. Man, what do I do? Because if I don't have that person to free me up from the stuff that I really shouldn't be doing, I'm never going to really be able to grow the business. So how do you recommend that people who are struggling with that, like even myself, because I know I could probably bring on like five people right now to do five different things and it would massively grow the business, but then there would be this period of time where, geez, it's like I'm going broke and I don't know if I can, am I going to be able to wait it out until I see that ROI? So it's like this real catch 22. And I think a lot of solopreneurs and small business owners and so on can relate to that. So how did you deal with that first step of delegation? When did you know when it was the right time to hire somebody? And what can others think about here in terms of bringing people on to handle some of that other work?
Yeah, I love this, because this is actually how I leapt from $1,000 a month to breaking six figures in under 9 months. Is wow. I started to get help to get the things done that were slowing me down and, you know, most of us, like, there's just certain things in our business that we can't stand doing or we don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. And so here was my big pivot point around this was, first of all, I remembered that part of what made me so successful in my corporate career was I knew how to help inspire and involve other people to get things done for me. So whether it was a volunteer team or it was a paid team, like, I just had this knack of being able to enroll other people in my vision. But I knew at this point I was going to have to do it differently because, you know, they weren't going to be on the corporate payroll. They were going to be on my payroll. Mm-hmm. And so here's the pivot thinking, is we have to stop thinking about what it costs and we have to start thinking about it as an investment in where we want to be. And so when we change our thinking, again, going back to that mindset thing, and we say, if I was to invest, say, $500 a month in getting help, and that person freed me up 10 hours a week, what could I reinvest that 10 hours in doing that would allow me to not just cover that investment, but make it profitable? And so that's the shift that we have to start making. Now, of course, there's a little formula I would do with my clients when I'm helping them that figure out, and we'd look at, all right, so what tasks could you be doing? How many more clients could you be selling? Could you make that person help with the sales or the marketing to produce more income? So we could go a little deeper. But that, in essence, is what I did. And I was able to not just take on I had quickly outsourced to a VA that freed up a bunch of my tech time. They got things done for me that helped me be able to not just take on one new client, but three new clients. And so then I was basically three times more profitable. Mm-hmm. And every time I grew my business, it was the same thing. What would this free me up to do? How could I reinvest that time? And how is this person going to help me make money or free me up to make money?
So would you have that person? A lot of people, I think, make the mistake, and me included, of wanting that person to handle sales or handle mm-hmm. marketing or handle client enrollment or those sort of things. Are you suggesting that in sort of these embryonic stages, or even for those who have been in business for a while but still have yet to really create that team around them, are you saying that the people that they should bring on should focus more than on the task related items, the tech side, the busy side, if you will, and you as the founder, creator, whatever you want to call yourself, should focus more on the sales and product creation and so on?
Well, this is an interesting distinction, and I think it lies in, what are your superpowers? Are you a brilliant marketer and you're really good at sales and you kind of suck at everything else? Then you would want to look at getting someone to help you take the minutiae off your plate. Like, you know, how easy is it to get stuck in the weeds and, okay, I got to figure out how to get the website working, or I want to put this page up, or I want to do this new product, and you kind of get drowning in all of the details. And if you're a results-oriented person, that's not going to help you grow faster. So I always say, look at your superpowers and then figure out what do you need to get off your plate that frees you up to do more of that. So if you're not good at marketing and sales, which a lot of my creative, heart-based, you know, thought leaders and transformational people, they don't like selling. They don't like doing the marketing. And so then we have to look at, is it more powerful to get someone on board that can free up some of those things you don't do well, like having a first pass enrollment conversation and eliminating someone who maybe is not a good fit for you, or getting some of the admin related marketing tasks done? Do you need to hire an expert who can design that stuff with you, so you have somebody who can complement you but do it better so it performs better? Or do you just need to really just suck it up and get better at it and get people to help you execute on what we might call more administrative tasks? So I think it really boils down to, what's your superpower? How can you do more of it? And what's in your way, AKA the bottleneck, of you being able to spend more time doing that thing that propels you forward?
Yeah, Richie?
Yeah, I was going to say that I love that. It kind of goes hand in hand with how I'm trying to handle it now. I word it a little bit different, but I say where my pain is, where someone else likes to play, that's what I want to delegate.
Yes.
It seems to me too that as a business grows, as you'll especially acknowledge this coming from Fortune 500, that the systems change along the way. So that's part of what's interesting about building this. You have to always be that visionary thinker, because in the beginning, it's kind of like golf. what you do doesn't really affect anyone else there, right? It's just your game. Then you kind of move in, you're building your team, you're getting bigger. It's like basketball. If the center falls, you don't just leave a clean runway to the basket. You gotta, like, someone comes over and holds that spot for you. So that's really nimble in the very beginning. And I'm wondering, what is the point where you decide to make that jump, though? So where you basically help people realize they need to write small checks to receive big checks.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about the growth of the business. When do you change the team tactic? Well, and interesting, this is one of the biggest invisible bottlenecks. This is where a lot of times we're in our way and we're slowing down our ability to grow because we don't have the right strategy and the right team to take us where we're going. It's the team that got us where we were last time, right? And so I think there's a couple things. One, you have to kind of look at the level of your own chaos, like how much chaos, breakdown, things falling apart, things not going well, things not getting done. How much of that is happening? And if it's disproportionate, so it's basically happening more than it shouldn't, then you need to look at, do I have the right strategy to go where I'm going next? And part of it is also looking at your revenue and client base. So sometimes people outgrow their technology and their delivery strategies because they're simply growing so fast and they forgot to go back and look at, okay, now, do I have the right technology to go to this next level? Do we have the right systems to maintain and support these clients at the level they're coming in now? And here's the big one. Have I become a more evolved entrepreneur and leader and I forgot to change my habits and my role in the company? Because how many times do entrepreneurs stay stuck in the doing when really they should be shifting gears into leading and more like the high level, the high vision component of where they're going? That's a hard one.
Well, I was going to say, when I feel my creativity is getting squashed, mm-hmm. I know that what I'm doing, I need to delegate. Just focus on being creative. And I can do small tasks I hate the back end. And I tell Richard this all the time. I'm not good at it. I don't have any interest in it. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather teach me the minimal to when you're taking a day off. But otherwise, I'm not creative in that way. Mm-hmm. And so creativity equals revenue for me.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what I'm just realizing for myself and for most of my clients? When you end the day and you're feeling exhausted instead of inspired, and because you've been spending time doing things that don't light your fire and you're not inspired to do, that's a sign you either don't have enough delegated support or maybe you're not allowing your business to grow and you let your role evolve so you can spend more time in your genius zone.
Mm-hmm. And so coming up on another break here, but you had a great statement earlier about getting stuck in the weeds. Do you have a couple of quick tips about how you can avoid getting stuck in those weeds?
Well, one of the things, it's a little mantra, and I actually teach this in my team building classes, is if somebody can do something better, faster, or cheaper than you, you've got to get it off your plate. And if you're problem solving things that is somebody else's thing to own, you're in the weeds. Yeah. So you have to really think about, where are you spending your time? Is it fixing things or growing things?
Yeah, awesome. All right, so we're going to have to do this. We're going to take another quick break here on Reinvention Radio as we're talking to Melanie Benson. And it's pretty interesting stuff because I got to tell you, everything that she's saying, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I know we're all our own business owners here. And a lot of what she's saying, it's like, ooh, that resembles me. So I will be listening to this episode quite a few times, evidently, because there is a lot that I need to improve upon, and I'm glad we've got Melanie Benson here helping us. Okay, more with Melanie on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing. But most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Talking to Melanie Benson here. And Melanie, because what ends up happening here is before we know it, we're going to be at the end of this interview. Time's going to run out. And I'm going to be like, oh, darn it. I didn't even give her a chance to really say, hey, this is where people should go. This is where people should check you out, et cetera. I mean, I know you've got a number of different things going on, including the Amplify Your Success community and so on. So give people the best play. Where should people go?
Well, AmplifyYourSuccessCommunity.com is a great place to get started. It's a whole tribe of people who are thought leaders and visionaries and change makers, and they want to figure out, how do I make my business and myself and my team perform better? So that's a great place to start. We're actually launching our own podcast in January. Woohoo! Excited. So much fun. And so we'll be tackling a lot of the, you know, amplifier tips that I teach. So that's great. My MelanieBenson.com, we always have whatever's the latest, greatest there. And one thing we've just launched that might be helpful for some people that are feeling a little sticky with cash flow right now, we have a brand new, it's totally free, it's a download checklist, the top 10 rapid cash strategies. These are the things I teach my clients or I've done myself to help you, like, just get a boost of income coming in. You know, we all have a slow month and something didn't work the way we thought. So that's at rapidcashstrategies.com. If that helps you out, great.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Thanks for sharing those resources. And we, the Reinvention Radio crew, we just launched a really high-end training. And I'm doing this on the spot right now, Mary.
Richard, yeah, just I can so tell. You know, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, but we just launched a really high-end training for 2017 where we take on individuals who are named Melanie Benson, who are looking to get into podcasting and need assistance and guidance. So
well,
it's,
even perfectpodcastguest.com. Kelly's thing that, you know, help with guests and what?
Yeah, no, I was trying to sell Melanie on our working directly with her on her new podcast, but thanks, Mary. Jeez. All right, fine.
You know what, Melanie, just talk with me, okay?
Because Melanie delegates everything.
We're due for a catch-up anyway.
She's just rolling in cash, and I was thinking, this is a perfect opportunity. It's like,
assuming I don't already have my team lined up. I mean, come on, this is my thing I do, right?
I was trying in that moment to eliminate my very own growth bottleneck, and now it's back in place. I got the cork, like, it's jammed in there, and the bottle is stuck.
We got a lot of work to do on you.
All right, so let me ask you this. And there's obviously a lot of strategies, and when you go in deep with your clients, I'm sure this takes place over a longer period of time, but let's take a look at some of those top strategies that you recommend for eliminating the growth bottlenecks that plague a lot of solopreneurs and small businesses and business owners in general.
Well, one of my favorite ones, and it's super simple, is time management. I actually call it liquefying time, because a lot of us, we have these really uncanny abilities to think like superheroes, that we can do all of it in some crazy low amount of time that will never happen on this planet, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the fastest ways to stop being your own bottleneck is to look at time blocking and some really simple ways to not let your ego mind and that part of you that thinks you can accomplish everything make the decisions, but really start looking at, what can I say yes to? What is aligned with where we really want to go? What are my priorities? And then use time blocking. It's a really simple strategy to put chunks of time in your calendar where you work on current projects and visioning and the things that are important that you never seem to make time for. So I'm a huge fan of really telling ourselves, you know, changing the story we make up about things. And I have a little joke with my husband-to-be that you can liquefy time when you choose to. It basically means you can control the amount of time things take. And when you're telling yourself, like, I can't get it all done, you will never get it all done. When you tell yourself, time is at my command, I will get everything done, it's like you teach yourself to make better decisions and to be more effective with your time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of time blocking.
You do that?
It works for me.
Yeah.
It's what keeps me sane.
Well, and the little nuances in your communication that you said right there, too, make all the difference. In addition to the time blocking, you know, saying things like, maybe in the past you got something tripped you up. You'd say, well, up until now, that used to trip me up, right? These little teeny changes in how you word things will help move it forward too.
Dr. Laura once said that as a parent, if you can just simply shift from I have to do something to I get to do something, it makes a dramatic difference. So that was my pitch. I was trying to figure out, like, in 2 years, I was trying to figure out how I could work Dr. Laura into one of these episodes. And 2 years later, I finally got it. Okay. Done.
That was impressive.
Try to wait 4 years next.
Try to wait. Yeah. All right. So, any other top strategies for eliminating the growth bottlenecks that a lot of us experience?
I got two more. One has to do with planning. Now, if I will stand in front of an audience and talk about planning, every entrepreneur I know will like run and cringe. Right? They're like, planning, that's not fun. But one of the ways that you actually get more productive and you're able to accomplish things faster is when you really learn how to create a plan. And I call it their adaptable plans. It's not like it's set in stone and you have to follow every single thing, but you're getting clear, what are our new initiatives for this year? And this is super important, right, as we're going into the new year. Mm-hmm. What do I need to be different? And what is the thing I commit to doing differently to get that? And then pulling it into a plan of, now, how does that translate to where I'm going to put my time? What products and offers are we going to do each month of the year? So it's not just winging it. You actually know when you're going to focus on moving certain things out into your audience, to your, you know, sales funnel, into your marketing practices. And there's a couple other steps there. I won't go into it for time. But, you know, when you follow this planning process, it's super simple, but it allows not just you to know what you're doing, but your team to be prepared for the ebbs and flows that will happen as you move throughout a year. So I'm a huge fan of planning and using really simple tools to communicate what needs to be done when, so that everybody uses their time wisely.
So it sounds kind of like a merge between, you probably don't word it this way, but between a vision board and an editorial calendar.
Yeah, like the visioning, I love vision boards. I'm a huge fan of, you know, using visuals. But in this case, it would be taking that vision of where you want to go and translating into a document that says, here's what we're going to do. This is what's going to be different. And this is when it's going to happen. And then also taking the step of saying, now, how does that actually translate to the revenue that comes in each month? Instead of having it living in our head, we actually move it out and make it real by putting it on paper so that you take action on it and people on your team, and you just use your time and your energy better that way.
It's great for the team members for sure, because then they're vested in the vision, definitely want to support what they feel like they help create too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and like the biggest bottleneck that many people have is they keep everything in their head and they don't actually communicate their vision and their ideas to their team so that the team can own and move ideas forward for you. They become at your mercy to say, okay, this week we're going to do this. And yeah, if you would have given me 2 weeks notice, I could do this for you. So it's just a great way to elevate your own leadership and your own ability to leverage your team and delegate better.
Yeah, that's really, really, really sage advice. So man, talk about time management. It's like time just absolutely
flies on the show.
It just absolutely flies on the show.
But you know what? I think she was a perfect guest for toward the end of this year, because all the things that are timely. And I talked to two speaker friends yesterday over lunch, and like right now working on implementing, planning, executing for 2017.
Mm-hmm.
There's an energy in the air to make it a better year.
There is. And I, for the first time, have like really stop to think, like, I'm gonna lay out a calendar. Like, so
you're
gonna
I'm gonna do it.
And
so,
do
like,
your whiteboard.
Yes. So the whiteboard will no longer just be white. Like, there will actually be things on it. I just think, like, you know, it's hanging up in the office. People going, like, oh, you've got a whiteboard. He must be like thinking. No, I'm not thinking about, like, that's just, it's all for show. So now,
colored markers.
Yeah, right. And like lay out this week, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to lay out the year. I'm going to see how that goes. And I'm hoping
just start with the first quarter.
Okay, well, maybe I'll just do it that way. All right, but really, really, really great having Melanie on. And again, you can get more information at melaniebenson.com. And again, that's melaniebenson.com. So great show. Love having that topic on right here, right now. As you said, perfect timing for where we're at, and wish you nothing but the best for 2017. For those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with your friends, we love you. All right, guys, we will talk to you next time here on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulscher, visit reinventionradio.com. One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulscher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.